You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The power sweep, actually, it's the lead play on our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. He's on the tackle, take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here.
Try to run this play in the alley. What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, X, and Rumble this evening, and we have got a very, very special guest. The suspension has been lifted. Jake Stefink being on the show. Obviously, last time he forced me to take a wide receiver in the mock draft, and I got some serious hate mail in the email inbox. Jake, welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Excited to talk about what we've got planned for this evening. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it's obviously a position that Green Bay should be heavily involved in about 5 short weeks here. So excited for it.
It got here quick, Jake. I'm so excited. Seriously. Earlier today, we kind of done a little deep dive on linebackers, right? And what I mean by deep dive is we went back and kind of let's see what the Jets and what the 49ers did with their 43 defenses. And they approached it pretty similar, but had their own little spin on it. You know, one thing that we discovered was in the 49ers 4-3 defense, they had all their defensive linemen's hands in the dirt. There was many times that we've seen the Jets edge defenders standing up, kind of like the Packers did in their nickel 2-4-5 last year. But looking at the linebacker position, like you said, Jake, as we kicked off, it's going to be a position we expect Green Bay to be heavily involved with here in the draft. What we did was kind of dove in and said, okay, who was playing Mike? Who was playing Will? Sam is kind of this elusive position right now. You know, no one really knows what Sam means in 2024. But nonetheless, anytime a backer is on the strong side of the formation, I call him a Sam, whether on the line of scrimmage or not, right? So when we broke that down, though, essentially what we came up with, Jake, between those two teams, and the reason we chose those two teams, gang, is because Jeff Hafley coached under Robert Saleh in San Francisco. Robert Saleh is now with the New York Jets. And, of course, San Francisco has continued to do what they've always done. We could have deep dove Houston a little bit if we wanted to, but I didn't want the show to go for 3 hours. So with that being said, Jake, what we came away with, man, the majority of the mock position there, you know, as far as the Jets and the 49ers, you had the mock at 6'2", 231 pounds, and 6'3", 230 pounds. So it seems like that's kind of that 230-pound mark is somewhat ideal when it comes to a mock backer. You know, when you think of great mock backers in the history of the game, Jake, I mean, there's several people that come to mind, right? And you've got some that were undersized, right? You know, when you talk about like your Mike Singletary's back in the day, people like that. but the game seems to have changed, and they really like to, like to keep those taller, leaner guys, right? And obviously, Quay Walker kind of fits that mold, which has got me thinking, Jake, that Quay, well, looking at this linebacker class, you could pull a Mock out of here, but do you want your Mock to be the green dot? Are you going to have a rookie running the green dot, or is it going to be Quay Walker? I could see Quay being the Mock, but I hear a lot of people talking about the Will. On the surface, what do you think about that, Jake?
I think the Quay Walker part of this equation is really interesting, and that's it. We can always, you know, and obviously we're going to try and guess at this point right here, but I think it's going to be fun to see how Halfley and really his staff kind of view Quay Walker. Where do they see him? Because that's going to determine a lot of, okay, we want this type of linebacker in the draft, right? You know, we're obviously going to look at a few of them, and some of them have played a lot of Mike, and some of the others have maybe played a little further away from the ball, whether you know, they're on the strong side like the Sam, or you're further away in the Will. To me, like right now with Walker, I just feel like something's not clicking with him, right? With all the run fits between the tackle stuff. And it just feels like that is the part of the equation with him where it's like, okay, we've seen what he does right through two seasons. It's kind of like, okay, we would say like, okay, probably not, you know, being the Mike linebacker because of all those responsibilities of where you need to be sound with gap integrity, getting off blocks, right? Not falling victim to like the eye candy and all that stuff that a lot of teams are running, especially in the conference. And so I think if you know, Halfley and the staff think, okay, we can get the best out of this guy. We know how to train his eyes. We can get all this development out of him. Then I have no problem with him being the Mike. To me, like, though, at this point, what we have seen, it just feels like he's going to be better, you know, away from the ball, running and chasing, you know, picking stuff off in coverage, right? He was in a lot of good spots in coverage this year to make a lot of plays. Didn't always finish the play, but it seemed like that process was going well with him. So that's where I see it right now. Could things change? Could Halfley believe in him? Yeah, absolutely, to be the Mike, for sure. But, you know, that kind of remains to be seen, I think. We kind of see what he is at this point, at least.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about this morning, just to kind of recap, was that buzz effect that Robert Saleh kind of adjusted to when he was with the 49ers. And it kind of talked about, you know, wills flowing to the football, right? And when you look at the 43 linebackers, the will is described here. Drop this banner down. The most athletic player in this group is generally the weak side linebacker, known for his elite open field tackling on cutbacks and his zone coverage ability in the flats. That kind of feels like Quay. You know, you're kind of playing, keeping obviously the flat's going to stay in front of you and you just attack. You use that athleticism, but also open field tackling. We know his tackle numbers are way up there. It's his run fits that struggle. And when you talk about open field tackling on a cutback, I could just see Quay closing the gap with a running back not expecting him to and just bang, right? It feels like Quay could fit the will. It's just that height really fits the micro, right? That's the only thing that comes to play there. And the reason I brought that up this morning too, Jake, was I think we kind of overanalyze the size sometimes. You know what I mean? Like when it comes to, you know, okay, they're going to choose this guy over this guy because he's 1 inch taller or 2 inches shorter or what have you. I think sometimes we just kind of, I don't know, man, we go a little overboard with that stuff. So it was cool to break that down. So
yeah, I think really quick to that point, like Georgia, when Walker was there, right, he was obviously way bigger than N'Kobe Dean was, right? Yeah. But they had N'Kobe Dean being the Mike linebacker. Why? Because you could just tell that N'Kobe Dean understood where he needed to be, understood where everybody needed to be. He needed to make those defensive line adjustments with their spacing. He knew how to do that. Like, he was in complete control, right? Walker was obviously a lot bigger, but it's just Georgia had him running and chasing and making all those plays in space.
Yeah, definitely. So that, you know, that may be where he fits in, right? Which means we got to go get a Mock, right, Jake?
Right, yes, so, which is a tougher assignment than find a Will linebacker.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it's almost like, you know, we talk about setting the floor at certain positions. It almost feel like Quay sets the floor for Mike. And now let's go see if we can go find a Mike so he can play Will. You know what I mean? It kind of feels like it's a little bit of that. As far as the Will backer position, though, the sizes that we come up with between the Jets – and the 49ers, and they had basically each had two linebackers that played Will quite a bit. Okay. You know, more, you know, one more than the other in both scenarios or both cases. But the size that we came up with was 5'11, 225, 6'2, 216, little slim, obviously, 6 foot, 230 pounds, and then 6'3", 233. So you can see, you know, when people say, well, 6 foot's too short or 5'11's too short, not necessarily, right? I think it was, matter of fact, the 5'11 guy was Quincy Williams, who was a solid linebacker, Quentin Williams' brother. So that gives me hope for my boy Jeremiah Trotter Jr., because I love Jeremiah Trotter Jr. There you go. But again, if you do go that route, probably going to kick him over to Will and have Quay be the mock if you do go that route. But Junior Colson, I'll say this, and we're going to go through my top prospects here on my board. And Jake, you feel free to disagree at any point. Tell me who you think might be better. But Junior Colson does kind of fit the mold. You know, 6'2 and a quarter is the measurement I have here. You tell me if those are a little off too, because I know you can go to three different websites and get three different measurements. But Junior Colson, 6'2", 231. 6 foot two and a quarter, 240 pounds, plenty of weight. He meets the height threshold there, at least amongst the mocks when it comes to the Jets and the 49ers. And of course, Junior Colson out of Michigan, I've got him in the 50 spot, but guys, I'm going to share the screen here because I want you guys to see, and I don't want it to come across like I think my board is right and everyone else is wrong. This is how I build my board. And I want to point out, hey, this is the discrepancies, if you will. So if you notice, Junior Colson is ranked 66 according to PFF. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's 66. I've got him 50th. What do you think about Junior Colson when we look at that size there? Jake, obviously coming in there at, here's a perfect example. Yeah. I've got him at 2.25. They got him at 6'3.
I don't know why PFF isn't updating these with all the combine measurements that have come in. But, yeah, from what I see as far as his combine measurement, it was pretty close. Yeah, 6'2 and a quarter, 238. So he's right around that 240 range. That size is, like you already said, that's 100% like what you want that Mike to sort of be, where, you know, you feel like, okay, this is a guy who can take on blocks. This is a guy who can, you know, handle a lot of duties between the tackles, right? He's not going to get overwhelmed out there, right? He's not, you know, 215-pound Marquise Bell for the Cowboys who's getting washed out every time, you know, somebody runs his way. Right, so that's a huge plus for a guy like Junior Colson on your defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm going to pull the consensus big board up since we use PFF so much. I'm going to jump over to the consensus big board. I'd like to see where these guys rank over there because I haven't. I try to hop back and forth, but sometimes I find myself leaning on one more than the other, you know. So let's see where we've got Junior Colson here. So they've got him in the 52 spot. Wow, and I've got him at 50. So that's right around. Yeah, the only difference is I've got him as the top backer, and they've got Edgerrin Cooper at 44 and then Peyton Wilson at 46. But I guess let's just move right on to Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson, yeah. NC State, 6'4", 238 is what I had him at there. According to PFF, they have Peyton Wilson at 6'4", 238. So, you chime in if anything.
Got 6'3", and 7/8", 233.
Gotcha, so an eighth of an inch shy, yeah. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, Peyton Wilson, obviously, he stole the combine, right? He had an RAS of 9.81, if I remember correctly. Junior Colson has an incomplete RAS. It sounds like, I mean, they had Michigan's pro day. Is he just not doing anything, Jake? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I didn't see anything, which, I mean, makes me wonder if, like, one little thing I see on film is something that he did not want to do, which there are a lot of people who aren't doing the agilities. But yeah, I haven't seen any numbers at all. So Okay. Maybe Junior Colson's just like, man, turn on the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn on the film.
And okay. That is the reason, Jake, that he's the top guy on my board, because I'm going strictly off the grades. That's played a big role. Before the combines, before everything hit athletically, I went and got all of the mock draft database consensus big board information, put it in my system, because I knew things were going to shuffle around. I wanted to remember, hey, this guy was the cream of the crop at one point, right? And it says here he peaked at 24. And that's what's wild to me, Jake, because it's like, since the season ended, what happened to make him drop? You know what I mean? That's what's crazy.
Media kind of showing you where players are at. Like some of the top guys, like kind of showing you, okay, players are at here. This is where, like, I'm hearing. Then you kind of see that shift. I think the reason Cooper's in that, like, 44 spot is there are still some who believe he might be the sneaky first round pick, jumps up into there, like kind of like Quay did 2 years ago, where like some team, like, you know, you mentioned them, right? You mentioned them at the top of the show, Houston Texans, right? They clearly are with D'Amico Ryans, they're going to value linebackers maybe a little bit more than some other teams do. And maybe that's the team where they're like, yeah, we need a guy like this in our scheme, and we're going to take him at, you know, where we'd like to. Obviously, they don't have their first anymore, right? But they could be a team that's moving up from where they're at, 42 now, into the 30s, and go and get someone like Cooper. Or, you know, maybe it's an insurance policy. San Francisco, they don't like, you know, Campbell enough where they're like, ah, it's just a stopgap, and they're hoping, you know, someone like Cooper gets to them. So
yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And it's really cool. It's worth mentioning here that let's just hop to Edgerrin Cooper. We're going to skip Cedric Gray for a minute. I've got Cedric Gray at 66 on my board. Edgerrin Cooper is sitting at 86 on my big board. Okay. Texas A&M, I've got him at 6'3", 230. With a 9.26 RAS, obviously through the roof. Consensus big board has him as the top linebacker. They have him going at the number 50 pick, okay, and he's 44th on the board. Really cool to look at Junior Colson there and see him being mocked to the Packers. That's kind of neat. I would.
Not bad.
You're going to hear me shout if that happens on draft night, I promise you that. So. But, yeah, and of course, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. we'll get to here in a second. He's a little bit lower on my list, actually below Cedric Gray, but they've got him mocked at 57, one pick before. So you got linebackers going back to back there. Obviously, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. going to Tampa Bay, and then Junior Colson going to Green Bay at 58. So Cedric Gray, let's talk Cedric Gray for a minute. The consensus big board had him peaked, I think, at 58, and he's currently sitting at 104, right? Eric Sutherland in the chat said, I like Colson and Gray. I've got Cedric Gray in the 66th spot. He's my third best linebacker. According to my measurements here, he's weighing in at, or it comes in at 6 foot two, 235 pounds with an 8.20 RAS. Does that sound right to you, Jake, as far as the height?
Yeah, I got 6'1.5", 234.
Okay, so a little bit shorter,
but yeah, pretty much on the money there. Yeah.
Gotcha. When you think of Cedric Gray, you know, what kind of backer do you see him as? Do you see him more of a will? Could he play Mike? You know, obviously coming out of UNC there. What do you know on Cedric Gray? Anything at all?
I think he can play Mike. I do. I think he has, you know, I mean, 32.5-inch arm length for a linebacker is pretty good, right? That's the same as Latu, who a lot of people really like, including myself, as a first round, you know, pass rusher. So having that type of length at linebacker, you know, gives you maybe a little bit of an edge, especially over the kind of the guards and centers when they're working second level. You might be able to, you know, get off blocks a little bit easier, use that length to your advantage. I think he's good at doing so. I think he understands where he needs to be in certain gaps. Again, I don't know exactly what North Carolina is running. I'm not going to pretend I do. That's a very that's very tough to know, because you have to know also where the defensive linemen are supposed to be as well.
Exactly.
But relatively, it looks like Gray is in the right position on a lot of plays to make a lot of plays. He's not the most enforcing tackler, right? He's not bringing a ton of hit power. I kind of think he tackles more like McKinney does. For a lot of people who've kind of gone over the McKinney stuff and seen him, like he's more of the wrap up guy, right? He's not the, like, I'm, you know, Cam Chancellor or anything like that, gonna run you over or anything. But I think he's relatively good enough as a tackler, and I think he's you know, sneaky good in coverage. He's got enough range sideline to sideline. He was on Bruce Feldman's freaks list as well, coming into the season. You know, the athleticism, I think it showed up there pretty well. I mean, he's in the 81st percentile in the 40. So yeah, I think he's pretty complete in terms of, like, okay, this is like a linebacker you would look at on day two, right? He's not the, like, this is not a game changing, right? You know, obviously Tremaine Edmonds was like a loaded potential guy. It hasn't really worked. I don't think he's at the Roquan Smith level either, like to that level, which I don't think, you know, anyone in this class is. But when you look at, like, okay, we need someone in to step in and fill this certain role, I think he can do that at a pretty good level as a rookie.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. I find myself getting excited, going, okay, if we can nab kind of our pick of the litter here, with even with the 41st spot, right, 41st pick, if we want to go that route, I have to remind myself they're rookies, Clayton. Chill out. Yeah. Like, there's gonna be, you know what I mean? They're not just gonna come in and light the league on fire. I mean, they could, but you know, chances are they're not going to. So, so we talked about Edgerrin Cooper. We talked about Cedric Gray. Let's back up just a spot here. Sure. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Okay. I've got him in the 75th spot. He came in, as far as the measurements I have, at 6 foot 228. Now, I think he's a little shorter than that, I believe. Let me go.
It's right on the money.
Is it
6
okay?
Foot zero on the dot, 228. Yep.
My man had that chin up there, you know what I'm
saying? It's like, all right,
You know
how much extension can I put on those cleats?
Yeah. That first date. You know what I mean? You go on that first date, you're out there just trying to look a little bit taller, you know, trying to pull that off. Yep. That's the way it goes. So 6 foot even, 228 pounds. PFF has him listed at 230. That's right there in that ballpark for a Will that we talked about. Again, the Jets, I think it was Quincy Williams, 5'11", 225. So meets that criteria perfect, right? No problem there. Another one with San Francisco was a 6 foot, 230-pound backer. So keep that in mind. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. kind of feels like he would be more of that Will possibly. But you never know, man. You get to the league, and if he's a quick processor and he got good gap integrity there in a 43 look, you roll him out there as the Mike Elekwe play, Will. But, he's currently in the 75 spot for me. And on the consensus big board, they have him in the 74 spot. That's kind of cool. I haven't looked at these yet either, so this is kind of – I'm waiting for me to – I'm expecting to do this a lot, Jake, when I see it. But it seems like some of these are falling into place. He peaked at 26. Another example. What happened? why did he drop?
It's a good question. I think he peaks at 26 because you get a lot of round one mocks only right when you're in May and June. And so, like, if you put it back in May and June, if you had any linebacker in, like, those early mock drafts, it was Trotter because that was, like, the guy. Like, everybody was excited about him to be that guy. Peyton Wilson, I mean, if you look at PFF grades, he hadn't really broken out yet. There was a lot of potential there, but he hadn't. Not many people knew Edgerrin Cooper's name back then. Gray was a little more on the radar. Colson, not as much either. So it was kind of like Trotter was headlining the class when we go back to summer.
Yeah.
And so if things kind of evened out because of a lot of prospects rising or, you know, guys, you know, you didn't have.
We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Any eyes on, they kind of, you know, rise, and then you kind of get these linebackers to drop a little bit, right? If you looked, Jayden Daniels was anywhere near the top when we were back in August, right? So you get a lot of those guys, you know, pushing themselves up a little bit higher, and that's how you end up, you know, with you know, Trotter a little bit down here in the 70s. So
definitely. And for those of you who are listening on the pod, Jeremiah Trotter Jr.'s PFF grade in 2022, 86.9. Okay. He was the 15th highest graded linebacker out of 787 linebackers. In 2023, 85.7. He was the 21st best linebacker out of 776 linebackers graded. So 21 years old, as far as PFF, they've got him in the 88 spot. Just a little note here. It says Trotter is an incredibly smart linebacker who consistently puts himself in the right positions. However, his lack of size, length, size, explosiveness limit his starting and even rotational potential on the NFL stage. Now, 33rd team, they were brutal with him. I think I've got the number here somewhere. I'm going to pull it up real quick. First of all, let me remind me, we're getting back to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. You mentioned Latu just a second ago, edge defender from UCLA. I've got him in the 9 spot right now, Jake. So literally he's my top edge in the top. I mean, he's in the number 9 spot. That dude, I think he's going to be a beast, man. Just everything that I've seen, at least. 33rd team too. Let me just mention that real quick. 33rd team. Let me look at my key. I've got so much data put it here. They've got him in the 11 spot. So right there around the same area. Now back to Trotter. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Let me find him real quick. All right, I've got him in the 75 spot. The 33rd team is what brung him down. Basically, 15th in 2022, 21st in 2023. This is overall, okay?
Right.
And with the consensus big board early, when I caught the consensus big board, he was at 54. And the 33rd team has Jeremiah Trotter Jr. in the 138 spot, which is just wild. So if I didn't include the 33rd team data into this whole equation for my draft board, he would legitimately be right around the 30 mark. So that's pretty wild to think about. And again, some people get upset with this stuff if they like a prospect. Not me. I get excited. I'm like, that means he may fall. Let him fall. Let him fall right in our lap.
Yeah.
You know, later picks.
Very, very possible. Yeah.
Absolutely. Looking in the chat here, I see Donald says, dang, Emilio catching strays, and he's not even not ever here to see it. For those of you who don't know here, Jacob is date mocking it tonight. All right. Tim is date mocking it tonight. And Emilio's a little under the weather. So he toughed it out earlier today. Piss poor performance on the pod, but nonetheless, he was here. I just said, I'm just joking, Emilio, if you're listening, buddy. All right. So let's see. We've got through those. Let's move on to Edifon Ulofosio. Okay. Out of Washington, 6'1", 236 with a 9.6 RAS. That really helped him there with that RAS, obviously. I've got him in the 129 spot. I'm going to comb down here on the consensus big board. How do you feel about Ulofosio? And I hope I'm saying that name right.
That's a great question. Usually I've got a decent handle on the names by now.
It's a tough class.
That's one of the ones. Yeah, there's some tough ones. He's definitely one. I know. I think if I remember correctly, he's the one who has, he's like 23, 24, if I remember correctly. But I mean, I think he's probably going to be more in the Will camp. I think just in terms of like, I think first step explosiveness, a little more range. I think I'm trying to remember what the size is on this guy. Really,
6'1", 236 is what PFF.
Okay,
is.
So 236. All right, I'm gonna check RAS too. I'm talking about his game a little bit more, but I just think like the run game is more difficult for him, and I think he has to rely on avoiding blocks rather than being able to stack and shed, where you kind of see more Mike linebackers doing that. I also think there's some issue with ball location and running back location, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand, but he just seems to thrive a lot more where you'd probably view an Edgerrin Cooper, where you'd probably view, you know, a lot of the Will linebackers in the league who are just like, all right, you know, can you sprint to the flat? Can you open up to the kind of the strong side of the pass formation and be able to pick up guys, you know, who are crossing, you know, understand who's got who in the route concept and be able to close and make a play on the ball. Like that seems where he's going to be at his best. It definitely helps that he's at, you know, if that he's indeed at 236, I'm going to try and grab his.
Yeah, definitely double check that. That was the PFF numbers, it looks like, that I pulled there. Okay. I was trying to comb through a couple of different websites, and NFL.com I was trying to lean on a little bit too, but I know you've got the most accurate information when it comes to that.
So at the combine, 6'0.5", 236. So he's still 236, which is nice. Arm length isn't too bad. 32.25. So, but I do think he just kind of struggles with that. And he like Cooper is somebody who has to find a way to work around blocks. And that's not always going to work unless you're as high level a processor as possible. And you're quick enough and flexible, which I think he is, but it's very difficult to survive playing the mic where block avoidance is your biggest tactic to get in the backfield to make plays
at some point there is going to be a confrontation when you're playing middle linebacker, and the team is going to ask you to get off that block, or at the very least hold your ground. Right. And if you have, if you're supposed to be outside leverage, you need to have that outside leverage. You need to hold it. So you can get, you know, the running back or whoever flowing back to the ball or flowing back to, I mean, to all your teammates. So I'm not sure he has that ability. And that's what makes it so tough is you go down this list and you go, will linebacker. And it's like, man, how many Mike linebackers in this class? And it's like, well, not a whole lot. Even some of the guys with more size, it just seems like they thrive a little bit further away from the ball too. So
yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah, it really is, man. Let's see. Josh Fallon Van Lanningham. What a cool name, man. Nice. Mine's boring. It's just Bailey. You know what I mean? Van Lanningham. Josh Van Lanningham says, hey, what's up, everybody? Finally caught a live show today. Awesome. Good to have you, nice. Josh. Glad you made it in here, pal. And I know we got a bunch of people watching over on Rumble, too. We're getting good feedback over there. We're just trying to cover all the bases. I know people have their different platforms they like to watch on and all that good stuff. So another question here in the chat was from Eric Sutherland. He said, look at the Wallace kid from Kentucky for a later pick. Yeah. You guys know I'm a big Kentucky fan. Trayvon Wallace from Kentucky, 6'1", 237 is what I got him listed at, 9.54 RAS. I've actually got him in the 169 spot, like Eric's talking about here, a possible later pick. You know, we were just talking about Ulofosio currently sitting at 164 on the consensus big board, but he peaked at 88. If we were to climb on down here, let's see where Trayvon Wallace actually sits. He may have been higher, actually. Yeah, he's in the 141 spot. He peaked at 91. And again, I've got him at 169. I do know that the 33rd team wasn't very kind to him either. If I scroll down here, let me see if I can find him real quick. Trayvon Wallace. He was pretty low. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, they had him, the 33rd team. Let's see. Actually, they had him a little higher than I thought. They were high on him. That's what it was. 62 is where they've got Trayvon Wallace at. Jake, that might be one of those guys that you look up in a couple of years and go, I'll be dang, he was better than three or four in this class, you know. Seems like what brought him down for me was his PFF grade. You know, obviously kind of grading out as 531 mark this past season, if I remember correctly. I think that's where he came in because on the PFF big board amongst linebackers, Trayvon Wallace is sitting in the 246 spot. Yeah, he graded out 61.1 this year, according to PFF. So, again, the 33rd team, they're high on him. PFF kind of low on him. He's sitting in the 169 spot for me, man. Give me a reason to think that Trayvon Wallace is going to be good at the next level, Jake. I'm a Kentucky fan. Help me out here.
He can block. I think there's some instances where you see him be very responsible in coverage where he's opening up and he's finding the crosser. And there are times where, you know, they're blitzing him or they're sending him at the center and he's, you know, either able to get around them or sometimes through him. He got through Cedric Van Pram one time in the matchup. Shoot, I don't remember if it was this year or last year. It was one of the two, but
how do you remember?
Just running through. My mind just has those things in it. There's not much else in there. But yeah, there's a play where he just kind of runs through Van Pran. It's like, okay, like there's some high level plays, but at the same time, on a down to down basis, it just lacks a lot of consistency right now. And he is like, I think 6'1 and 1/8, 237, as I believe what his combine measurements were. And so, you know, teams that are looking for these kind of day three swings are going to like, all right, there's some size there. There's some, I believe, decent athleticism there, right? I think, if I remember correctly, with his RAS,
you mentioned. Yeah, it's Trayvon right? Wallace. Yeah, Trayvon Wallace's RAS right? was a 9.54.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you see that. You see him run a 4.51, and, like, obviously it's, you know, not in pads, right? But I think you can see some of that. And I think somebody had GPS testing on him that liked him as well. And so you get these athletic players, and that's another big thing of, like, playing linebacker for any position. It's nice to know that there's a base level of athleticism because there are things you can coach up. There are things linebackers and players in general, right? Not just linebackers who can get better at and develop. It's harder when, you know, when you look at the film and you look at the testing, you go, yeah, this just isn't the athlete. It's tough because it's a step up, right? The athletes are all top tier in the league. So it gets a lot tougher when you have that baseline of athleticism. You go, okay, can we improve this, this, or this to get him to play position X at linebacker at the league? And that's what I think a lot of these day three swings are going to be, like Wallace, like Jalen Ford, who I know somebody brought him up in chat. SDM 40 did, might be a later round value. You get him, you get, you know, Nathaniel Watson in the same vein. Like there's probably going to be somebody on day three. Cause if you just look at like the past years on this, on the consensus big board, which I did, you know, the other evening, it's just kind of like some of these top guys just are not panning out at the top of the consensus. And you get some real studs later in the draft. Like Azeez Al-Shaair was like 420 something on the consensus big board in the draft he was in. And I know he hasn't stuck with the Niners, but guy's done a pretty decent job for himself for being that low on the big board. So there's probably going to be a linebacker or two in this class that are going to be like, oh wow, where'd they come from? It's an athleticism swing on day three that ends up working out.
Yeah, absolutely. Another linebacker I've got listed here, and we're getting kind of in the later guys, right? At the 150 spot, I've got Michael Barrett from Michigan. 5'11 and 3/8, 233 pounds with no RAS currently right now. Obviously, he and Junior Colson teammates. Am I wrong for feeling like this, Jake? Sometimes when you get two prospects that play the same position, they play beside each other in a defense. Do you ever find yourself going, okay, was he good because the other one was, you know, taking some attention away? You know what I mean? Like it seems like you catch that sometimes. Like for example, with the defensive lineman there in Texas, right? With the University of Texas, you got, I think it's Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat. I remember Michigan a few years ago, Chase Winovich was on one edge and I can't remember who was on the other, but they came out the same year.
Josh Uche, I think.
Might have been
the same guy.
Whoever it was, but it was like, you know, anytime you've got two players that are kind of, you know, splitting the defense, if you will, gets me a little nervous because it's like, okay, was he just playing at that level because the other guy was, like I said, drawing so much attention? Do you think there's a little bit of that goes on?
Yeah, and I think the other part is like, right, especially at linebacker, it's like, is my teammate getting me in the spots I need to be in? Right. Do I know where I need to be, or is he getting me in those spots? That's something you at the very, very slim chance you could guess that that's what's happening. There are definitely times, obviously, where Colson is directing traffic. And so you're like, OK, yeah, he has the handle. And a lot of these guys maybe just, you know, it slipped their mind for a play or two and he's getting them all in their spots. But yeah, I think it's especially hard. That's what makes linebacker, I think, probably one of the more difficult evals. Of any position. Obviously quarterback is insanely difficult as well. Teams are having that problem. They're, you know, quarterbacks are costing, you know, jobs across the board, but it seems like linebacker, it's very difficult because you need a baseline of athleticism, right? So like some of the field generals, traffic directors are really, really good until you ask them to turn and run and change direction. Right. And then maybe they don't have the athleticism to do it. And then some of the athletes where like teams just love all these traits, right? And they're just, oh wow, look how far this guy can cover ground and all that stuff. Well, it's like, if he doesn't know route concepts, if he doesn't know where he needs to be, and, you know, filling the run, like he's running around with his head cut off out there, basically. Like he doesn't know where he needs to be. So it's such a difficult position to figure out. Cause as you said, they're just, you know, could he be getting help from his teammate at linebacker? You know, are the two defensive linemen, like you mentioned from Texas, right? And they have an 8-man rotation at Texas. Are they swallowing all these guys, all these blockers up and like just giving free access to a lot of these guys on certain occasions? Absolutely. And so it makes the job a lot easier. So that's what makes linebackers so tough. Some of these really, really good linebackers, not saying they're not good, but like, you know, they're also benefiting from like, okay, I can count on this guy to take one or two guys out of the play. And like, I know where I need to be then. So that's what makes it so difficult. It just feels like if you look back, even on this consensus big board, and you just look across the last 5-6 years, you go, man, yeah, you know, this first overall guy on the consensus board didn't work out. Second does, third doesn't, fourth doesn't, fifth, oh, six and eight, both didn't work out. So it's so difficult. Like this is just one of the tougher positions to figure out. You can just kind of just close your eyes and just, where's this dartboard at that I need to hit? Like it sometimes feels that way.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about Quincy Williams, we talk about C.J. Mosley in the New York Jets defense, everything you just said, who's in front of him? Quinnen Williams, right? He is eating up attention. And one of the pictures, one of the snapshots we showed earlier today in that 4-3 defense, he was in a wide nine or at least a seven, could have been called a wide nine. It was like, yeah, they're moving him all around. That was basically Robert Saleh going, you're not going to double team him this play. We're going to put him out here on an island and let him shove your left tackle into the quarterback's face. Yeah. Heck but yeah. It's so cool to see kind of the cat and mouse games that go on, especially there in the trenches. The next one up, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but listening to Ryan's pod, if I remember correctly, he really liked Tommy Eichenberg. That was one of his, you know, favorite linebackers. I've got him at the 157 spot out of Ohio State, 6'2", 233 pounds. I don't think they've had their pro day yet. I don't know if he's going to perform, but I don't have an RAS for him. But Tommy Eichenberg, when we look at it according to PFF, let's see if we could find him. I think he was a little higher than Ford there.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, 111. So, 2022, 86.8. 2023, 61.5. That kind of feels like a little Jaden Reed action where Goody dipped back into 2022 on a stud and didn't even look at the 2020. When he looked at 2021 as opposed to 2022, might have a little bit of that there with Tommy Eichenberg. I know his scouting report here on PFF says, Eichenberg is a strong side linebacker who can find work in early down roles as Mike slash Sam, specifically in a 4-3 defense. However, you won't want him operating in space in sub package situations in coverage on late downs too often due to a lack of lateral mobility. So it sounds like he's more of that Sam role, right? Get up there and attack the point, the line of scrimmage and try to stop the run. What do you think about Tommy Eichenberg? PFF has him in the 111 spot. I've got him at 157.
Yeah, I think in many of the same ways, Cedric Gray is good between the tackles. I think Eichenberg is as well. I think you see plenty of range and instincts and just the ability to get in the right spot. I think he has the frame to kind of hold his ground against offensive linemen, which is really good. And I think he takes really good angles to the football. There are some guys who can kind of attack too far on a sharp angle downhill. Right, and that kind of gets him into a poor spot. You see that safety, of course, as well, more pronounced, I think. But with linebacker, can happen too, and you got to be, you know, very cognizant of like, all right, what are my, you know, what's my athletic capability? What angle can I be taking against this running back? Or, you know, if we're in a situation where teams are, you know, getting into the reverse and the jet motion stuff, like where do I have to take my path to? And so I think Eichenberg's really good in that regard. Like he knows himself, he knows what he is athletically, and he understands, okay, like we're playing Corum this week. Okay. Not for Corum to catch up strays. We're not doing that, but he's like, okay, I know I can catch up to him, right? He's not a burner with a ton of speed. I know what angles I need to take playing him. Flip side, same team, Donovan Edwards, ton of speed, right? He's like, okay, yeah, I have to be, you know, taking flatter angles and a flatter path to make sure that I'm in a position to make that play. So I think he can operate well between the tackles, but it's tough in some reps where it's like, oh, Tommy, you think, and it was happened earlier in his career a little bit too, is like, Tommy, can you take this, you know, number three on a vertical route? Tommy's like, well, no, I can't. So, and you know, it happens, right? So I think it's a trade-off with Eichenberg a little bit. I do think there is capped athleticism with him to where coverage will be a little more difficult, but, you know, for as sharp a mind he is between the tackles, I mean, if he can just be kind of that type of player in coverage where he goes like, I understand who's going to be entering my space. Like I know who I need to take, like might be able to hang for three downs. There's a chance for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Look, we got an extra host here. He's a little off camera. Lincoln over here in the chair. Like, can we just take Junior Colson and get it over with,
man? Yeah.
He can't even look at the camera right now.
Like we're on the clock and Colson hasn't been picked. What's going on?
What are we doing here? M. Smitty in the chat says, for linebackers, I really like the idea of picking up Cunningham. I think he's referring to Zach Cunningham. Okay. Based on your guys' review the other day, him, Quay, McDuffie, potentially Colson, and if possible, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. would revamp that room. It goes to show you, man, just two or three bodies in that room and you could have it in place. It could happen that quick, right? Seemed like we were kind of high on Zach Cunningham. He's one of those guys that was somewhat steady, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And there were mentioned, I can't remember who it was that mentioned him. I don't know if he was specifically linked to the Packers, but someone had mentioned, like, I think it was an article saying, hey, here are a couple of the best linebackers that are still available type thing.
Yeah. I mean, dude's got ludicrous length, by the way. Really? Yeah, 34 3/8. I was like, I had to go check the RAS card, but I remember like thinking, like, man, dude's arms go down to like his shins. That linebacker, like, this is, and yeah, it's got longer length than a lot of pass rushers in this class. That's all I'll say. So,
my man can scratch his kneecap standing straight up, right? That one
guy can just be engaged with an offensive lineman and just reach out and grab the running back. trying to run past him.
All right, let's move to 10 spots down to Maurice Laufau. Is that how you say that? Laufau? How do you say it?
Oh, I don't know. It might be Lufau. I don't know.
I think
the I gets in there. Laufau. That's the problem. When the I gets in there, that's when I'm like, I don't know if I need to pronounce this or not. These guys, I just we don't want to keep bungling your names. Just, you know, maybe at the combine podium.
Just change it.
Just quickly get the name out there for us, because that'd be
now. Once the Packers draft someone, I immediately go and watch interviews and hear how they say it to try to get it right. But guys, we're talking about, you know, I try to keep it to 300 prospects or less that I'm actually trying to dig into a little bit. I'm not trying to learn everybody's name, and I'm going to screw it up anyway. Yeah. So there you go. Laufau, I think, is how I heard Daniel Jeremiah say it, but he could be wrong too if he did. Out of Notre Dame, he's in the 167 spot, 6'2", 234, with a 5.56 RAS, if I remember correctly. Do you have his measurements, Laufau?
Yeah, I can grab that really quick.
And I'll find him here on the
consensus. I do at least know how to spell the name, which is
good. Liufau.
Yeah. 6'2 and an eighth, 234.
Okay. Perfect. 6'2. All right. The consensus big board has him at 166. He peaked at 86. And according to PFF, they have him. Was he that far down? Or he must be at the top then. Holy cow. Let's look. They may be a little higher on him than the consensus big board here. Let me see here. Laufau, there's his teammate. Yeah, they got him in the 100 spot. So I've got him at 167. PFF has him at 100. PFF grade was 68.1 in 2022, 74.3 in 2023. It says Laufau is a powerful downhill linebacker who attacks ball carriers and blockers with bad intentions. I like that.
Yeah.
He thinks and feel for spot zone coverage, talking about that spot drop, still need work if he is to be relied upon consistently. He is projected as a contributing inside linebacker for either a 4-3 or a 3-4 defense. So sounds like spot dropping is probably his weakness. Other than that, pretty solid backer there, according to Scott.
I find that really interesting that's how he's described. Mm-hmm. Because his coverage grade for PFF was 84 this last year. And his tackling grade was a 52, and that's what I remember seeing when I watched him. I'm like, man, he hits hard. He hits hard. There's no doubt. Like, he bad intentions is very correct. Yeah. The problem is like, there are quite a few missed tackles out there, and that's a little bit of the struggle where, you know, he kind of is like he plays like one of those safeties where you're like, oh man, guy's getting hung out to dry over the middle with him closing in there, and you're like, oh no, this is not good. But, like, at the same time, that type of player sometimes just throws their shoulder at guys a lot and doesn't always wrap up. I think you kind of see that a little bit with him. And where I think, like, there are a lot of times where he's meeting the ball at the catch point and he's making some really nice plays in coverage. So I think that's super interesting that's kind of the description. And I want to even look up. I'm going to look up somebody, see if they say the same thing or not. I'm now really interested to just go to a different page. Let me see.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, first thing I see on this scouting report, great feeling coverage. That's so interesting.
PFF, who has him in the 80s on coverage, says that his instincts and feel for spot zone coverage still need work if he's to be relied upon.
That's so interesting.
Man, cut a man a break here. Goodness gracious. So up next would be in the 169 spot for me would be Trayvon Wallace. Okay, we've already talked about him, 6'1", 237, 9.54 RAS. Up next after that would be Laufau's teammate at Notre Dame, and that's J.D. Bertrand. I've got him in the 175 spot. I've got him listed at 6'1", 235. And if we comb down here, he's right behind him at 194 as far as right behind him in the linebacker room, according to the consensus big board. He's in the 194 spot there. He peaked at 160. Now, when we look him up on PFF, they've got him in the 158 spot. So everybody's right around that same area. It says Bertrand is a tough, smart, and competitive prospect, albeit undersized, who projects as a rotational backup inside linebacker for a 4-3 or a 34 scheme. His PFF grade was 71.7 in 2022. In 2024, 82.4. looks like and again, here we are again, Jake. You see two guys playing a similar position. Is one helping the other? You know, a little more than we can actually see. Which one will be the stud out of those two? Or who knows, man? You might stumble across a situation where you've got, remember the three backers that came out of USC? It was Clay Matthews, Malalaga, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And you had Brian Cushing, who was just an absolute animal for reasons we won't mention. But
Cushing Cushing was one of those guys who hits like Lavao does, 100%.
Is that right?
Yeah, dude's just out there with some bad intentions.
I love that one of our biggest needs has two players from Notre Dame at that position. That gets me excited. What do you think about Bertrand? Do you have the same measurement, 6'1", 235?
Yeah, 6'0", and 7'8", 235. Yeah, okay. So essentially 6'1".
Got it.
Yeah, I don't have I haven't done a ton of deep dive on him yet, as I have most of the other guys, but I know in Mobile you saw a lot of straight line speed. I think he was one of the top like GPS timers at linebacker. Mm-hmm. I think he struggled to shuffle a little bit when it was kind of like confrontation time and like one-on-ones in coverage. But I do think he was in a lot of the 11s, he was definitely in the right spot, and I imagine that's what we'll find on film as well, is like he's maybe more of the okay, I'll get everything set. Lafa, why don't you go tee off and like just kind of do what you do out there, and I'll kind of be cleanup guy and make sure everybody's in the right spot. I imagine that's what I'll see when I get to Bertrand's evaluation. But yeah, I mean, I think BFF quite likes him. I think there was a couple games of tackling it looks like that brought his overall tackling grade down, but he did have 4 sacks and 30 pressures this past year. So clearly like involved in the blitz. And I think that closing speed probably does match a lot of what you saw in the speed stuff when he was tracked down in Mobile. So
yeah, no doubt. Drew D said Notre Dame linebackers are good fits for us, man. I hope so. I would love to get some Golden Domers up here. And I know there's some Notre Dame rivals that are going, no way, no how, don't want to see it. But I just love the ties of Notre Dame. The whole reason that Notre Dame is like my second favorite college team, you know, them and Kentucky are the two teams I pull for, is only because of the ties that Notre Dame have to Green Bay, right? You know, you've got all the way back to Curley and then one of the four horsemen. Obviously, I think, if I remember correctly, Curley coached him. Curly coached him in high school, and he went on to play for Notre Dame, if I remember correctly. So, cool ties that you got there. But I know those Michigan fans will say, yeah, but Lambeau Field is modeled after the Big House, so don't forget that, right? For those of you who don't know, I remember correctly, the architect that kind of designed Lambeau Field actually went to Michigan, and he tried to put some of the same, you know, same type of that bowl look, if you will, from the Big House into Lambeau Field. I need to go to the Big House. I've never been.
Me either.
We need to make that trip. Of course, we won't wear enemy colors, but we'll go in there and just sit and watch a ball
game. Oh, I don't know. Depends. Is Illinois at Michigan? I might wear some enemy colors. I don't know. But, yeah.
Oh, man. I love it. Let's see here. All right. So, up next, Jalen Ford. That'll be the last one on my list. I've got him at 178. I've got him at 6'2", 240. However, PFF has him at 6'3", 242. They've got him in the 218 spot. I've got him at 178. And then, of course, when we look on the big board here, the big board has him at 150, so 28 spots higher than me, and he peaked at 96. So first things first, what measurements do you have on Mr. Jalen Ford out of Texas there?
I've got 6'2", and 3/8", 240.
Wow. There you go.
So some pretty good size measurables at the position. We'll take that for sure.
Absolutely. Good stuff. So the whole purpose of kind of going through this and digging into the linebackers gang is because earlier today we tried to get a good read on Robert Saleh's defense with the New York Jets and then the San Francisco 49ers 4-3 defense. How big are their mocks? How big are their wheels, right? So you correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, Jake. I think we were in the ballpark that it wouldn't change where they would kind of fit in. But as far as the guys that would meet that 6'2" or higher that we tend to see that's associated with a mock linebacker in a 4-3, you've got Junior Colson, Peyton Wilson, Cedric Gray, Edgerrin Cooper, Tommy Eichenberg, Maurice Laufau, and Jalen Ford. As far as the wheel backers, who are going to be somewhere between 5'11 and 6'1-ish, you've got Edifon Ulofosio out of Washington, Michael Barrett out of Michigan, Traven Wallace out of UK, Kentucky Wildcats, and then you got JD Bertrand out of Notre Dame, and of course Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson, not in that specific order, but Trotter obviously coming in the 75 spot. So now you're starting to see everything kind of come into focus from a size standpoint. Again, it's not a slam dunk, but it kind of sees, okay, these might be your potential Mikes. These might be your potential Wills, right? So
yep.
What do you think about it, Jake, as we get ready to wrap up here, man? I thought we were going to do a mock draft, but we just ain't got time. We filled it, man. This was awesome.
Clayton asked a lot of questions in this one just because he didn't want to get to a mock draft. He was a little concerned about what might happen in it.
Still got trust issues, Jake.
That's fine. See, I could even be like, Clayton, we maybe could run through a 3-round mock draft, just there do a go. Quick one. But Clayton's like,
No, you talked me into it.
Let's go ahead. Yeah. I was going to say really quick, I think the only thing that I would adjust, right, you talked about the size of the linebacker position while you're setting this up, where I think the only tweak I would make is Edgerrin Cooper going to be a Will. Because I just am not sure that the way he plays at this current moment reflects the Mike linebacker. He just isn't like the take on block, you know, really good eye discipline between the tackles, and he's just more of like, man, I will chase anybody down out there that exists. Like that just seems like the player he is. Doesn't mean he can't help against the run and get around guys and all that stuff, but it just feels like he, even with that height stuff, just feels like he just fits a heck of a lot better, just a little bit further away from the wall.
Got it. And again, you look at Quay. I'm kind of looking at Quay like, all right, that's our floor mic. So for some reason you do go that route and you take someone like, it was Edgerrin Cooper you were just talking about, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and you plug him in at Will. We see they've tried Quay at Mock in the 34 defense, so it's not like he would just be completely blindsided. So yeah, I think that's it does matter, man. It matters how they play. It's not just about size, right? Yeah, it matters how they play. So you ready to do this, Jake? We're gonna rapid fire 3-round mock. Let's do this. No trade. Absolutely. Let's see how this falls. I haven't done.
Donald says we always have time for a mock. Love that.
Everybody does. Jake, I'm telling you, man. I've been like, I know listeners are going to get tired of mock drafts, and it's every day someone's like, hey, you guys should do another mock. I'm like, okay, we'll keep
I would let the chat stay tuned because we might have some things in the works for you. Keep it interesting for fun.
I love it.
Don't get Bowers here. Oh, no.
Yeah, we're declining all trades. We are not accepting anything. All
the right, Rams are trading everything in their next two drafts to acquire Brock Bowers.
Exactly.
Goodness, man. That's what that was saying. That's basically
so here we are at the 25 spot. And for those of you on the pod, the best prospects available, Brock Bowers tied in. He's the 9th best prospect according to the mock draft database. Man. Byron Murphy, defensive lineman out of Texas. You just heard me saying, is it Byron Murphy? Is it Tavondre Sweat that's making that thing go? Tackle Amarius Mims, which is the suggested pick. Chop Robinson at edge in the 27th spot. Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas at 29. There's Graham Barton, interior offensive lineman out of Duke. I think everyone in the chat, including me and Jake probably too, would love to trade back, but we're not going to do it. What do you think here, Jake?
I just we're just going to pretend Bowers doesn't exist right now.
Right.
I just don't think he's going to be there at 25. The league just doesn't value the tight end position, and a lot of people are scared off because of the first round picks at the position. Listen, if you don't think Aaron Rodgers has Douglas' ear at 10 at least and be like, hey, this Bowers cat's pretty good. You know, we got some tackles, like we could do this. I just feel like, and the same thing with Ballard, really quick, not to prolong this, but like Ballard for Indy, like that is 100% a player that will help Anthony Richardson right now as a receiver. Like it feels like they're just not. It's not going to happen. There's no way. I don't want to be absolute because anything could happen, but like Bowers is too darn good. It's just too darn good.
Yeah. Let's go to the chat here real quick. John in the chat says Cooper DeJean. All right. Assuming he's still there. Let's look. I didn't even check. Let's see.
Like he's not.
Cooper DeJean off the board. There's some people. Some people got him rated in the top 10 now, Jake.
Yeah. PFF has him at 8, I believe, on their board, but they did kind of, I think, tweak their board. The point of like, okay, this is what teams are gonna more look at, which is good. Mm-hmm. I got to Gene at 25 last night in the mock, so that was nice. And we got Kool-Aid at 41, which was a sick start.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Right.
Eric Sutherland says, Graham Barton. I'll just run through the chat real quick. Drew D says, let's go Murphy then. He goes on to say, we have to replace Kenny Clark for next year. It's very realistic, you know. Him being, 28 years old, going to be 29. It's a contract year.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Let's see here. Mark in the chat says Murphy. Graham in the chat says Barton. It seems like Barton and Murphy, right, are the big picks here.
Yeah.
There's Murphy or Barton from Donald.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think those are your two. As cool as it is to see Adonai Mitchell sitting there at 25.
Don't you do this.
No. As cool as it is. First of all, I think Mitchell's going to be off the board as well. I think the receivers are going to be flying, which, you know, very beneficial. Yeah, I think it's got to be trenches here if you don't get one of these top DBs that fall. I think it's Murphy or Barton for sure. Mm-hmm. As much as, like, Mims could make sense, right, just would be a very outside the threshold look at a tackle, which Green Bay hasn't done. Now, I mean, they can't do it, but the data we have right now suggests it's probably not going to be him.
Right.
I love the idea of Murphy because, A, as much as we love Carl Brooks, you never know, right? This is a day three pick at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I love Devontae White as a pass rusher. Not too certain about him as a run defender, Clayton. I think you would agree. And a tackler, right, as well. So,
yep.
And with the Clark thing coming up, I don't see why not. I don't see why not. And it's, if you're looking for Pro Bowl defensive tackles, more often than not, you're finding them in round one.
Yeah,
seems absolutely like the league is pretty tapped into finding Pro Bowlers at defensive tackle early,
and it's pretty consistent across the board that the teams that are always in the hunt, they just stay in the trenches in the draft early in the draft, right? They're just constantly looking to take those guys early in the draft. Byron Murphy on the consensus big board is 16th, on the PFF big board 9th. On my board, I've got him 19th. All of which line up for the 25th pick. We good with taking Murphy here?
I think so.
All right, it's
really good value at this point. As much as we like Barton, maybe he's available at 41. And looks like he is.
I believe he is.
Boom. There you go.
But here's the big question.
Oh, no.
This is the guy that always throws the wrench in it right here, right?
I know.
And then, of course, here comes the linebackers, too. You gotta look at addressing that. So let's,
for sure,
let's do this. Let's key in on, say, we took a defensive lineman, right? We're looking at interior offensive lineman. Obviously, if we're going to go O-line, we're going Graham Barton. I think we would all agree.
I think so.
So let's go ahead and take a peek at safety. Tyler Newbin, then it drops off. So you can get the best safety in the draft there, according to the mock draft database. Sure. According to my board, it's the same. Do you still have Tyler Newbin as the best safety in the draft too, Jake?
Yeah, I think it's hard to move off what he has shown you on film. Do think, as I kind of did mention a little bit back in January from there, it's kind of like, I just think he's at his best either in the split field. If you're going to be in a lot of too high shell, I'm totally fine with him taking half the field. If we're in more cover three, cover one, single high stuff, I'd rather him be the robber and poaching things over the middle of the field because you're going to, I think, create a lot of turnovers with him in that area. I'm just not in love with the range on the back end, which I don't think there's very few guys who are going to, you know, carry that torch. I think Bullard's another one who kind of quite doesn't do it either. I mean, if we're going predictive, it does feel like Newbin athletically, I don't know, you know, RAS is not what Green Bay uses, but it has to be something similar. It feels like he's probably not their guy at 41, even though I think you're getting a heck of a football player.
Got it. Quick question here from Adam Block. Where's Chop on your board, Clayton? He is in the 13th spot on my board. So,
big brain move Chop to linebacker on early downs.
There you go. Hey, there's some people that are saying it. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but man, he's got some crazy athletic ability. Let's look at corner.
Yeah.
We got Mox Sainristil, TJ Tampa, Max Melton. Okay. Obviously Mox Sainristil, according to their big board here, is the best. If I were to look at cornerback, I've got Sainristil in the 57 spot. They got him in the 56 spot. I've got TJ Tampa in the 79 spot. I got Max Melton. Max Melton ain't even in my top 10, believe it or not. Abrams Drain is 95th. So, yeah, for me, DJ James, 67. If we were going corner, it would be Sainristil for me. I can never say his name right.
Yeah.
Safety would be Tyler Newbin. Offensive line would be Graham Barton. What do you think here, Jake? What would you – well, let's look at linebacker. Oh, yeah. Edrie Cooper.
We spent the whole day
talking linebacker. We come to the mock draft and we won't even take
We'll take one.
At linebacker, according to the consensus big board, for those of you on the pod, Edrie Cooper at 44, Peyton Wilson at 46, Junior Colson at 52, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 74. My big board, Junior Colson is the best here, then Peyton Wilson, then Cedric Gray, which Cedric Gray is still there, yeah. And then Jeremiah Trotter Jr., then I've got Edrie Cooper. So, man, I tell you, Jake, I'm out here in this – huge ocean by myself on a little raft with Edrie Cooper being that low on my board.
I think he might end up four for me. So,
okay,
that makes sense. It's tough because I think when you look at like Wilson and Gray and like how versatile they can be, and then Colson, you look at like, oh, maybe he's like legitimately, as much as I like Gray, the only true Mike early in the draft that you might be comfortable having. So, like, that's got to be part of it as well. Yep. Right, there'll be certain teams that like we've got our Mike. We're not even thinking about them, right? We're like we're looking at the Will linebacker. So, yeah, it's interesting how those top five are going to be ordered for everybody come draft time. But yeah, I don't unless there's like a tackle that's you know someone. Oh yeah, develop him over Barton. I feel like Barton's probably the guy here at 41. It's just too darn tempting.
To me, I've got it narrowed down to two. It's either Barton or it's Tyler Newbin. That's the two that I've got it down to. Now, here's the question, and this is the reason I think I would lean toward Tyler Newbin over Graham Barton. Our offense, pretty much across the board, finishing the season, we had pretty much a top 10 offense, right? The defense was kind of the part that was struggling. Would you agree with that, Vic?
Yeah, definitely. But I do think the one caveat to the offense is that interior offensive line. Like And that's not saying like this is the reason Barton needs to be the pick, but like more of a broad scope. Like I don't think Goody's leaving this draft without three offensive linemen. Even if it's two draft and one UDFA, like it just feels like Goody's gonna be like, yeah, we know what we've got. We know how much we can generate in the passing game with all these big plays to Wicks, to Dobbs, to Reed, to what, like to all of our guys, to Musgrave as well. Like to not have enough protection for more of those sustained dropbacks. Yeah. So.
Makes sense.
If it's not Barton, if it's, you know, if they like BB better, which I'm still kind of back and forth on that because he's, you know, a little over 320, but man, Barton might be able to fill, it might be nice to have like another Elton Jenkins or Zach Tom potentially on your team here in Barton where it's just like, oh, you need him to play this? Yeah, he might be able to do that. And then he finds a home there.
Yeah. And you know, what we're trying to do is nab several positions here, right? We're looking at interior offensive line. We're looking at linebacker. We're looking at safety. Newbin is not going to be there at 58. I think we should all agree. So you're going to miss out on the best safety in the draft. It's going to play in the box. Kind of we didn't say he was a Cam Chancellor like, but we were trying to draw some comparisons across the league. That is one name that popped up as far as a low RAS, overachieved. Maybe that's putting too much on someone like Tyler Newbin.
Maybe Geno Stone's another really nice one. You know, not a top tier athlete,
right, but
a playmaker that found the ball a ton last year in Baltimore, right? Seven picks, like could easily end up being Newbin.
So what are we thinking, Jake? What do you want to do here, man? You want to go Graham Barton? You want to go Tyler Newbin? Or do you want to go with a linebacker? I'm going to make
those are the only options. Got it.
No, they're not the only option. Well, I'll tell you what's not an option. This right here, okay?
Oh, there's not value there. We're not worried about that right now.
Are you kidding me? Have you heard Leggett talk? Buddy, there's value there. You hear that?
Oh, I get you. Yes, that's true. That's a good point. You make a good point.
We will get him on the show if I have to donate to some charity an ungodly amount. If we somehow end up with Leggett and that's Southern
a lot of, that's draw, a lot of big playability, man. Too.
We'll just get him on here and say talk for 30 minutes. I'm just going to show him. Hear that accent.
So, I'll ask him a bunch of receiver questions if you need me to. Just keep him talking all day.
If it were me, though. And I'm not trying to persuade you. I would go Tyler Newbin because hands down the best safety. And then you've still got – and this is just because my board, Christian Haynes, I've gotten the 30 spot. Okay, I've got Graham Barton in 23 spot. So you could nab Christian Haynes with the 58 if everything falls apart. So right here at the 41 spot, I would go Newbin. And then with the 88th pick, hoping that Cedric Gray and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I love Jeremiah Trotter Jr., but I would be okay with Cedric Gray, seeing that he's my third best linebacker. But yeah, you make this pick, Jake.
I get the sales pitch on Newbin. I'm still with you on the sales pitch on Newbin. Mm-hmm. However, I think predictively, I feel like Green Bay's coming out with one of these first two picks with offensive line. And I think the reason I'd say Barton, and I know we're talking about Haynes, Barton has the tackle experience that the Packers have historically liked, which I think is a big deal here.
Versatility.
Especially at 41. Like, that's whew. Yeah.
And that's the thing too.
Sweating, like, I've got him here with all the value.
I've got him at the 23 spot.
Yeah.
They've got him at the 30 spot. So there's even more value for Graham Barton on my board. Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, like I said, I would go Tyler Newbin here, but according to the consensus big board, Graham Barton is 10 spots higher. You know, when it comes to my board, I've got Tyler Newbin at 28. So Graham Barton is 5 spots higher. So you're right here, man. I mean, Graham Barton is best available. So let's do it. Let's go Graham
Tyler Newbin. We're still big fans.
Yes, absolutely. We love
still
you.
Big fans. Still big fans.
We got McKinney, so now we're all is right in the world.
Yeah, right.
until we
only need one safety, right? That's
until they move Anthony Johnson Jr. over to strong safety, and he just starts whipping on tackle.
We'll
see though.
He's played a lot of nickel.
So we took Graham Barton in the 41 spot there.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Oh my nice. God! Is nice. It going to happen? Hey, listen, nice. Jake, RAS. The pro day performance. This is realistic. This could happen, right?
Oh yeah. I genuinely now think there's a chance that you could get Newbin at like 88 or 91 come draft time, and you get Cam Kitchens in the 120s, which is kind of insane to think about, honestly.
It is wild.
Look
at this.
Still, I would probably lean Colson here. Okay. Just based on kind of what I think Green Bay needs. I know Eric Sutherland says, can Newbin run block? That's funny. You know, maybe. Who can say?
He can block.
Who's available at corner? Just out of curiosity. Oh,
see, and this is what happens. We finish the mock and we look back and go, oh crap, we didn't even look at this.
Clayton, my gears are like like 8 gears turning. Like, who's available here? Who's available here? That's what happens when you do way too many mocks, Clayton. This is where my head's at.
So you got Max Melton at 63, Chris Abrams Drain at 73, Cam Hart at 93. It's thinning out quick, Jake, real quick. As far as my big board here, the best available would be, let's see, I got Abrams Drain at 95. I don't have Cam Hart up there. DJ James I have at 67.
Okay.
So DJ James would be my pick here, hands down.
DJ James is a tough son of a gun. At 173 pounds, though, that's the question. But, like, every time I watched a receiver who played in the SEC, I'm like, I got to see the Auburn game. Because this dude played so physical and really probably gave pretty much everybody you could think of the most trouble.
Yeah.
All year long. So,
yeah, DJ James should be there at 88 most likely, though. Heck, he'll be there at 91 possibly. Right. So that would be my cornerback pick. So if I was in control of the draft completely, I would say, let's wait till 91 and see if DJ James is there.
Honestly, I might be on the same page of like, let's wait till 91, see if Golden Dome Cam Hart is there as well, honestly, because plenty of size and physicality as well at corner.
So if we go all, here are the best
prospects, man.
41, Tyler Newbin. 44, Edgerrin Cooper. 52, Junior Colson. We got to make a decision here. What's more important, a linebacker or a box safety, right? That's what it comes down to. He's 11 spots higher, according to the consensus big board, he being Tyler Newbin. On my board, Tyler Newbin is 28th, and Junior Colson is 50th, so he would be way – I mean, you're talking about, my goodness – that is what, 32 spots higher? Am I thinking right? No, 22. 22 spots higher is Tyler Newbin over Junior Colson. Man, it's like literally the three.
Will he be there at 88 somehow with magical miracle?
Well, here's the thing, though.
Mock, right? Like,
look at the linebackers, though. I feel like
this quite a
decent. I feel like one of these guys would be there at 88, don't you think?
I think so. Oh man, I feel like for like weeks now, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, Man, Green Bay, they're going to pick Melton at 58, aren't they? Yeah. They're really going to pick him at 58, aren't they?
We talked about him all offseason, and we're going to go, dang it, they took him at 58.
I just got that funny feeling. Like, you watch him impress in the slot against Roman Wilson, who a lot of people really like in this draft. I do as well. You watch him in some reps impress against Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm. I don't think anyone played him better this past season than Melton did.
Really?
And I don't know if anybody played him better in the last two seasons, really, other than maybe Will Johnson from Michigan, who is probably going to be a top 10, 15 pick next year. And that includes Quinyon Mitchell, and they matched up in the fall of 22. So,
yeah,
man, if it was Green Bay, I feel like it might be Melton. It's hard not to ignore Newbin's value. There's a lot of linebackers still there. So, yeah. But if you like Cooper or Colson, it's got to be right here. It's got to be right here.
Yeah, for me, my pick would be Newbin here. That would be my pick. But what do you think, Jake? How are you feeling?
I'm fine with that. I think based on our thinking, yeah. I mean, like, Newbin still gives you exactly the player you want. Mm-hmm. In terms of the strong safety box safety, if it were Green Bay, my guess would be they're taking Melton here or they're taking Junior Colson. I think those two are probably where they would go at this spot.
I'd be okay with either of those, to be honest with you. I would be perfectly fine with it. Let's go Newbin here, though. Let's go with the suggested pick. Bang. All right, we're crushing this, man. All A's. Look at this. So our next pick is obviously going to be 88th, right?
And, no safety's got just Kitchens and him.
Sure. That's it.
Sure.
So cornerback, Max is obviously gone. Let's look at linebacker now, right?
Lost out on James.
There's our boy.
Perfect. There you go.
So best available at linebacker, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 74. Then it drops off to Cedric Gray at 104. I've personally got Cedric Gray in the 66th spot, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 75. If you had to pick, Jake, between Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Cedric Gray, forget these numbers.
Yep.
Jake Shavink, who do you like better?
Cedric Gray.
Cedric Gray. So with that being said, we should be able to wait till 91 to get Cedric Gray, right?
Yeah, probably. There is that hope, which makes me turn my attention, I think, to offensive line even again.
Okay.
Which is like, I know everybody, there's two camps right now in Packers where it's like, we can wait because we're so good at developing offensive line in day three. I'm like, listen, I get what you're saying, but you're looking at two players and you're missing all like the other eight or nine in the era who have not panned out as late round picks. And so it's kind of like, you're just kind of focusing, you know, on all the hits here rather than, oh man, that's not ideal at tackle.
The best tackle available, according to the consensus big board, is Blake Fisher at 88. I've actually got him at 68. Okay. And then interior offensive line, they've got Cedric Von Prawn out of Georgia at the 76th spot. I've got Cedric Von Prawn in the 60 spot, so even better than they do. That's interesting right there. Josh Myers is going, don't you do it. Don't you do it. What do you think?
I think these picks, and this is exactly what I did last night, but I just love it. Dominic Pooney from Kansas and Cedric Gray as the two third round picks. It's about as good as it gets. Pooney's played really good at guard, really good at tackle. Gives you some insurance there, exactly like Barton, where it's like, oh, nice. Two positional flexibility, like offensive lineman. Man. Goodness. And then you get your linebacker in Gray, and it is just time to cook.
And I've got Pooney at 53 on my board. Ooh, so, I say we run that in. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. All right,
we're going Dominic. Is it Pooney or Pooney?
I think it's Pooney. I think I was saying Pooney early in the process. I'm pretty sure.
I probably said it three different ways, to be honest.
That's fair.
All right. Don't worry about that grade, guys. Yeah. I don't know what they're talking about on here. All right.
Please tell me they didn't just take two linebackers back to back.
Oh, my God. You ready? Drum roll, please.
Drum roll.
Wait, are we on the clock? Yeah, we are on the clock.
Here okay, only one got taken, if any got taken. So, okay.
Great. Oh, we got our pick here. Look at this. All right. This is where it gets tough. Well, actually, it doesn't. If you remove the consensus big board information here, I've got Cedric Gray at 66. I believe you said you would take him over Jeremiah Trotter Jr., right? Okay, so we've talked linebacker all day long, and the moment of truth, the moment has arrived for us to draft a back. It's going to happen in the 91 spot, and we're going to take Cedric Gray. Now, keep in mind, we looked at the size according to the Jets' Mike linebackers and the 49ers' Mike linebackers. We didn't go into this going, we got to have a Mike, did we, Jake? We just said best linebacker available.
Yep.
So, with that being said, Cedric Gray, definitely, you know, my measurements, I had him at 6'2", 235. He had an 8.20 RAS. The size is there to be a potential Mike. Do you like him at Mike or do you like him at Will? It's not going to change our pick.
But yes, actually, I would answer that. I think I like him in both spots, which I think gives him a slight edge over Trotter in terms of where I would probably view the two of them.
Got it. So we're good with Gray here.
Yeah, I would be very happy with this.
I love it. All right, so there you go. There
not
is...
worried about the C at pick 88. It's no, not. It's not a C, yeah. Folks. It isn't. It's just not.
I'll tell you. So here it is, guys, on the pod, and we'll wrap this thing up. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us as long as you have. Everybody in the chat, we got a herd of people in here. If you guys would, guys and gals, hit that like button for us.
Yep.
If you're on Twitter, you can click on my profile, and you'll see a YouTube link there that'll send you to YouTube. Our YouTube page where you can subscribe there, and it's a little bit better interface, you know, as far as hanging out, talking in the chat, that type of stuff. We appreciate everybody on Rumble too. We've had several people. I think we got up to like 10 viewers on Rumble, which is cool. Excellent. We just created it today. So it's cool to see that. But here is the results. With the 25th pick, we took defensive lineman Byron Murphy. I had Byron Murphy in the 19 spot on my board. Great value there. Graham Barton, we took at 41. Interior offensive lineman, but he's versatile enough to play tackle if you need him to. He can play center too, if I understood correctly. Let's see. I have him in the 23 spot. We got him at 41. Great value. Yeah.
He has played center, actually.
Yes, okay.
Center and left tackle where he's played, and obviously there's projection elsewhere.
Beautiful. Love it. Next, we've got Tyler Newbin in the 58 spot. I've got him in the 28 spot on my board. Great value there. Best safety in the draft. He's going to play in the box opposite of Xavier McKinney. Really like that pick there. Kind of a bigger guy, kind of that enforcer type in the middle. Did he have 12 interceptions, Jake? Is that what it was? It was some kind of record, school record or something, wasn't it? If I remember correctly. And what's crazy is you've said it all along, he's more of a box than a center field. And when you go back and look at the highlight reel, you see him making those plays underneath, picking the passes off.
Yeah,
got great plays with his eyes. I'm not worried about the RAS at all because he's a half a step ahead of everyone with his eyes. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, excellent processing speed. Interception. 13 interceptions.
There you go, 13 picks. Like to see him spinning into the box, playing a little spur, right? We talked about how Robert Saleh kind of shifted things and started playing the cover three buzz with the safety buzzing into the box. He could be your buzz guy, right? No doubt about it. Again, I have him in the 28 spot. We got him at 58. Next, we have Dominic Pooney, interior offensive lineman from Kansas, but very versatile. We got him with the 88th pick. I have got him on my board in the 53rd spot. So we're talking about great value there. 35 spots lower than I have him on my board. That is awesome. Cedric Gray at linebacker, the moment of truth out of North Carolina. If the 91st pick, I've got him in the 66th spot. So great value there. Man. I love this draft.
Cleaning up.
Yeah. This was
Donald's. Donald says Super Bowl winning draft here twice. Said it twice in the comments.
So yeah, it seems like everyone really likes it, man. Yeah,
because we didn't do that other thing.
Tim will approve. I love it. Yeah, as long as you've got, as long as the majority of the picks are on defense, Tim always approves. No doubt.
Yeah, and there's if there's no receiver in there, right?
Yeah, and I love what Drew said. Can't wait for tomorrow's mock.
Sure,
you man, pressure.
Oh man,
there you go. I like what Drew D said here. We can't solve every hole. We just we can just get good players. I think that's the best way to describe what we just did, Jake.
Yeah.
So, you got anything else, buddy? We went way over. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Man.
It's hard for us to get off here, dude. When we're
It is.
This is a lot of fun.
Very much so. There was a comment that says, "Dang, this episode's still going." Listen, that's when we're both on here. It seems like that's what happens, no matter what.
That's exactly.
So it is what it is. But yeah, this has always been a lot of fun. That was a really fun deep dive on the linebacker position. I'm really excited to see how they attack the draft, especially if they don't sign anybody beforehand. It could be a very much a three linebacker draft pick situation on our hands come late April. So
absolutely. So there you go, man. You get Cedric Gray and you get Quay Walker into camp, and they'll sort it out. Who's going to be the Mike? Who's going to be the Will? Right. And let them compete. You got Isaiah McDuffie that can come in there in a pinch too. You know they're going to take another swing or two at linebacker later in the draft as well. Yeah. We talked about some of those guys that we listed off, like, you know, names like Ulofosio, Michael Barrett, Tommy Eichenberg, Maurice Laufau, Trayvon Wallace from Kentucky, J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame, Jalen Ford from Texas, Jalen Ford being more of that mock kind of fit. But, yeah, a lot of fun, Jake. Appreciate your time, buddy. This was a blast.
This is awesome.
All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Want to thank everyone on all platforms, everybody on, like I said, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, Rumble, whatever you want to call Twitter nowadays. I don't know what the kids are calling it, but we'll refer to it as both. But really appreciate everybody's time. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go, Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here. Try to run this play in the alley.